Welcome back to Perfect Pitch with Nick Healy-Hutchinson and his fresh approach to the world of classical music. Whether you're an expert or a beginner, old or young, Perfect Pitch has something for everyone.
Forgive the oxymoron, but in the end, everything has to start with Bach. Beethoven described him as the immortal god of harmony, and yet you'll still find people who find his music excessively mathematical or even dull. Maybe you're one of them. There are endless examples to refute that, but whenever I overhear somebody brave enough to voice such an opinion, my easy go-to response is, when was the last time you listened to his E major violin concerto? The concerto, in the traditional three-movement format, was written in about 1737, and the first movement, which we're going to listen to now, is brimming with joy and high spirits. It's played here by Hilary Hahn with the Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie Bremen.
Thank you.
you were brought up on Hergé's Adventures of Tintin, you might remember the comic opera singer he created in the form of Bianca Castafiore, first introduced in King Ottokar's Scepter and a character he's supposed to have based on his grandmother. Despite giving her this profession and making her Italian as well, she's only ever heard singing the Jewel Song from the most popular French opera of the day, Faust, by Charles Gounod. The purists dismiss this work as sentimental, but only on the grounds that it's got lots of catchy tunes in it. The opera itself focuses more on the relationship between Faust and Marguerite, rather than sticking too closely to Goethe's text. She's not having any of his attention until he presents her with a box of jewels, at which point she's mysteriously won over. The Jewel Song, which is Bianca Castafiore's one and only showpiece, is quite deliberately ironic. Hergé couldn't stand opera, and what's more, he said, it makes me laugh. So he gives this aging prima donna an aria in which she marvels at how wonderful she looks. Ah, I love to see myself so beautiful in this mirror. The French, and Gounod in particular, were adept at giving their arias a dance-like rhythm, and it's easy enough to hear it here. He also throws in some testing high notes for good measure, making this a proper and quite thrilling showpiece. And they are notes which are pierced with laser-like precision by one of the great prima donnas of all, Maria Callas. And now for a couple of different kind of songs. Songs without words, that being the precise title which Felix Mendelssohn attributed to his 8 volumes, with 6 in each. These pieces had wide appeal at the time, and continue to do so, because most of them are not unduly taxing for the pianist. But they have an undeniable charm. So let's listen to two of them now. The first one, Opus 30, number 1, is played by Leon Macaulay, and the second one is Opus 19, number 1, played by Andras Schiff.
Thank you.
I think we have to stay in the Romantic period to conclude today. Like his good friend Brahms, Schumann wrote 4 symphonies. But unlike Brahms, who spent some 14 years toiling over his first symphony, Schumann knocked out the draft for his first symphony in just 4 days. Its nickname, The Spring, was not one given to the piece by the composer, but it's not hard to see how it came to be known as such. It's fresh, exuberant, and light. The final movement is played here by the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Raphael Kubelik.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Nick will be back again soon. Please rate and comment on any of the previous episodes, and if you like what you hear, take a moment to press the follow button, as it helps to spread the word.